Welcome to the Triangle Podcast. This podcast is for members of Fort Smith's First Baptist Church. Our host, Janet Addison, will talk with Pastor Greg and others about how being involved in the life of our church can help stretch your transformation triangle. The transformation triangle represents the three foundations of spiritual growth: our identity in Jesus, our relationship with Him through prayer, Bible study, and faith choices, and our ministry to others. We'll explore ways to deepen your walk with Jesus by strengthening and stretching the legs of your triangle.
Hello, church family. This is Matt Passmore, associate pastor here at First Baptist Church. In this episode of our Triangle Podcast, we have a few men that went with us to El Salvador, and we want to tell you a little bit about our trip. With us today, we have Luke Lewis, and we have Mark McDaniel, and we have Sonny Fry. And first off, guys, I just want to dive right in and just basically say, what made you decide to go on the trip to El Salvador?
Well, my first indication was, so I'm on the missions committee, and we had the church on the river, and the church on the river with Brother Jimmy passing, and it kind of dissolved First Baptist, and I got a pretty good inkling of trying to get on a missions trip. God had never called me to, and then all of a sudden, I get that kind of a calling or that yearning. And so I decided to talk to my wife, and we discussed it, and she thought it'd be a good idea, and so I decided to get on it.
Okay. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I went, this is my second time down, and the first time I went, we did some work, but most importantly, we got to know the people. And once you meet the church family that's down there, it's hard to not be a part of that. It really is, because there's just such a great, loving congregation and just real acceptive and cordial toward us. And they just made us feel great last time we were down there. Really took care of us and everything else. So when we had an opportunity to go back, I definitely wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, so the reason why I went on this trip was the first one I was going to go on, I got sick and had an appendix removed. This was the first group that Mark was talking about, and it kind of took me out of any kind of missions or something for a little while, but once I got the invite to go back to this one, I knew that I didn't, there was no thinking about it. I wanted to go, and I knew the guys that were going to be a part of it. Like Sonny said, he's done some mission work down at Hope on the Riverfront, and I got to know him more. I got to know Mark more on this trip, and I already knew Matt, but all the other guys, it was just great to go and be a part with all of them. So I was excited to go.
And when we were down there, we worked with a church that Pastor Ugo was the pastor of, and he kind of has a vision where we went and helped other churches. But tell me, what were some things that y'all did on the trip?
A lot of shoveling.
Yeah. Manual labor.
Okay.
A lot of that. I mean, that guy, the first day we went, I told Matt or Edwin, I said that I was going to stay in this ditch for all day long, and that was a mistake.
Now, how old was that guy in the ditch?
That guy in the ditch was about 80 years old, I think.
He
70 or 80.
70 plus, yes.
Yeah.
Did he beat you? Did he stay in longer
than
you did?
Oh, yeah. He stayed the whole time.
So we were digging, but what were we digging for? What were we doing?
A foundation for the pavilion there for another church. We had, I think we had 4 shovels, 3 wheelbarrows, 2 picks, a machete, a pickaxe that we could dig the ditch with. And it was like 3 to 4 feet deep and about 30 feet long.
That first day, really looking back, I think we were working backwards on that first day, because if you really think about it, we dug that whole footing and put the dirt on the side. And then we had to go back the next day and the next day and take all that dirt and move it farther away from the actual, you know, the hole, so it wouldn't go back in. So that first day really was just unplanned, unorganized.
Mark's here laughing because we all had a shovel and we went to work, and within about 30 minutes we were all exhausted. We need to stop, have a plan, and then get going, because after about an hour we were whipped. But tell us, Mark, we went for about 4 or 5 days. What else? What took place during that 4 or 5 days?
Yes, and the whole process, again, like Sonny was saying, was just all about building a pavilion, a place that they could be under a shelter and have a worship service there in Opico. And
you say Opico. Where's Opico compared to You know, we were in El Salvador. We stayed. The church we were with was in San Salvador, right? Tell us about Opico.
Opico is a community outside of that, about 40 minutes away, and it's real rural. And one of the things about it is, and you can tell it's pretty impoverished. When you're in San Salvador, there's different housing and different levels of living, so to speak. In Opico, there's not much of that. It's mainly a poorer community, and definitely hardworking folks and everything else there, but definitely a poorer community that you could see the need.
Well, obviously, when they're there, they spoke Spanish. Did y'all feel that there was a barrier between the English and the Spanish?
When you're sweating in a ditch with a guy, it doesn't matter. You can see how far, yeah, how much deeper you need to dig.
Digging's digging in any language.
They just point and
mixing concrete.
You to keep getting after it.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was neat.
I was surprised at how fast. You know, I could catch on. I'm sure everybody else the same way I was, but could catch on just in the few days we were there. You could catch on to what they were saying. You know, like Michael, when he was there, he knew before he even went down there, and he was talking back and forth with them. But I was surprised at how fast they could catch on with us, you know.
Talking about, well, speaking of that, we did spend some time with worship with them, you know, different times we worshiped and all that. Tell us about the experience of everything being interpreted or hearing them sing in Spanish. Tell me about your experience of the worship time.
Well, biggest takeoff I got on that was you was getting too far ahead of him.
Okay, I did preach, and I never use an interpreter, so it was pretty rough. But yeah.
The people there are so genuine. They are so loving for Christ, and they want that, and they're so appreciative of what we do and what we did when we was down there. The language barrier just left then because of that.
Yeah, and in the church services, when they would sing the hymns, it's like hymns we grew up with singing, and you know the tune. Yeah. Of course, you obviously couldn't sing along with the words that they were using, but you could sing along in English, and we got several nods and several looks whenever that would happen, and they got a kick out of us, you know, singing along with them in English, and I thought that was neat.
Yeah, like Mark said, I mean, you could tell the tune. If you're talking about just the worship, you could tell the tune just from what they were saying. You know, you didn't have to know the words. You just knew the tune. You could sing it in English.
Just my experience was just, it was just pretty neat to, no matter where you go, it just was a picture that we serve the same God. And we prayed to God, we sang to God, and you could just see that the Lord was working on them like he works with us. And it was just brothers and sisters in Christ, and it was exciting to be there. Tell me about a little bit, and I experienced this, and this is what I just love the most, was tell me a little bit about the relationships among our team that we built when we were there.
Oh, that was great. It was better than I expected. I mean, this First Baptist Church is a church family, and you really see that when you went down there, not only with the people that I did not know, but like with Mark. I've known Mark for all my life just about, and get to know a little bit more about the other guys that went down there. They all had the same – they had the same goal, and that's what's important, and that was just producing things that would help them worship and praise God more.
Very well said, yeah. And like Sonny said, we've been deployed together several times in combat zones and done a lot of things together along the way. But getting to know Mike and Luke and Edwin better, and of course Matt as well, that it just really endears you to these guys. And that's just a good, you know, common brotherhood that you now experience that we didn't have before necessarily.
Yeah, those guys said it best. I mean, I knew, you know, the people that I went with before, but now to get to go on there and actually experience and room with them, I mean, it's, you know, it's a little different, but, you know, in a good way, you know, you get to know them, you get to.
And it was always cool. We'd get back, and we worked hard all day long, and we'd come back, and it was like, I always thought, well, let's just go to bed. I'm exhausted. And we'd sit out and drink coffee till almost 10 o'clock at night, just fellowshipping with each other. It was really a connection that I wasn't really expecting, but it was really powerful and strong. Just so
people know, there was eight of us that went on the trip, and we averaged age from a young we had two, Luke and Grant, they're young 20s, all the way up to 70s. And all of us worked together, found our, by the end, I told you earlier in the week, we all had a shovel and going crazy. By the end of the week, we kind of all found our niche and covered for each other. It was kind of cool, just a story. You know, I'd grab a shovel and I'd go as long as I can, which was probably about 30 seconds when we were mixing this concrete, but you'd set the shovel down and someone would come right behind you and get in the mix and keep just mixing it. And we got through it, and it was just taking care of each other. And so it was a great time on the airplane, great time. I mean, I've been on trips with students and kids, and there's always just, you know, there's that time you got to deal with a problem. I mean, it was just everybody's carrying each other's bags. It really was a great trip, just focusing on the Lord and caring for those. We were caring for those people so much, we didn't even really have need of our own. It wasn't about when are we going to finish, but the guys came together and just we could see how, you know, at the very end, I remember a picture of we laid our hands on Pastor Ugo and just prayed for him, and everyone in our group prayed over him, and just, you know, almost brings a tear to your eye just to know what the passion we had that we had made just in the middle of that relationship. So guys, think this through just for a second, and I'd like to ask you a question too, a little bit deeper than that. What was an impactful moment that happened for you, maybe happened that you experienced during that week? Just something that really made you stop and think, or just change something you thought. Was there an impactful moment that you had during the week?
I think the first time, the first when we went down there that night to their church, the first night we was there and went down to their church, you could see the genuine love that they had not only for each other, but how they expressed it for us. They were so appreciative of us being down there, and the work we had to do. I'm sure it wasn't like any a different mission trip, because we didn't go out, we didn't witness to anybody, we just worked. We would go up there, but the people that we saw there, Pastor Ugo and those other guys, it was genuine, and you know that you felt it. You didn't feel like you was so to speak in the way. Or they were just welcome, and they were just very, very loving, and that's what I enjoyed that the most.
Yeah, to bounce off that, a moment, I guess, a realization that I had was watching, you know, Nelson or Brother Ugo or any of them, really, you see just the passion they have for a day-in, day-out service. Like, their number one allegiance really is to Christ, and mine is too, you know, but there's days where, you know, sometimes I don't want anything to do with it, but I feel like they have, I mean, they, every day is, they're sold out to that, just that community, and they would do anything they could. I really believe
with a smile on their face.
Yeah, with a smile on their face, they would do anything they could. I mean, they'd take a beating, whatever they had to do. And, you know, just seeing that encourages me.
Brother Douglas kind of walked me through their vision for that place down there, and you could just see the excitement in his eyes and hear it in his voice when he's talking about how they were talking about the bathhouse and how several things that they had discovered on that property would save money, save time, and make it more efficient for everything and a better place. And I just love seeing their passion, like Luke was saying. It's just impressive.
Right.
Well, and, you know, as we talk about missions, and the goal of this podcast too is we want to encourage others to go to missions, whether whatever it is, local or overseas or whatever. If you could talk to someone right now and encourage them and share with them, how would you encourage them to really pray about maybe going on the next trip? Well, what advice would you have for them?
I'd say it's prayerfully consider it. And one of the key things that David Burton shared with us on the last time we went down, he said, really, whenever you go on a mission trip, you always come back closer to God. He said, yes, your goal is to help others, to help people, and help further the kingdom of God, do whatever you're supposed to do while you're there. But he said, inevitably, whenever you come back, you're closer to God yourself.
Yeah, it's a little different. You pray about it, and you think about it, and you discuss it with family and friends, and then it's just like God puts you out there on that limb, and you think, well, I can't do this. And then all of a sudden, you're there, you're doing it, you're making the, you're making that change, you're making that effort. And then when you get back, the reward is hundredfold. You cannot, it was such a rewarding trip. And I think that's what a lot of people miss is that, you know, well, I'm going to have to do this and do this, spend this kind of money, or and what am I getting out of it? Well, that's not really the goal. What you're getting out of is what you give to other people and how they respond to you.
But in the process of that, we get a lot out of it. So you're exactly right. I agree with you. Kind of like what Mark was even saying. Well, and we got Luke. Luke's been on three or four trips. And so tell us what would you say about encouraging someone to go, Luke?
I mean, prayer was a big thing for me, but really, I'd say this, a mistake I've made is just thinking about something way too much than you need to be, because, you know, with all the, you got social media and everything now that you look up beforehand that you go, and it would deter a lot of people from going, because if you're my age, I mean, that's all you look at, your phone a lot of the time, and you're thinking, well, I don't want to go here because it looks scary, or I don't want to go there because this might happen. I'd say just go, you know, and then you'll figure out a lot more than you ever would have on your phone or any kind of things that's going to deter you away. Just go. If you feel led to go, just go. And then a lot of times you're not going to feel all these emotions you're led to go, but once you get there, God will reveal something that you've never seen, and that'll, you know, it'll bless you in the long run for sure.
Well, I'll say this, church family, these guys that went on the trip worked hard, and something we don't say a whole lot of is they paid for their trip to go. They found people to pray for them as they were there. And I built relationships with seven other brothers that a lot deeper than when we went. I've seen them in church, love them there. But, man, talking about just I roomed and board with Mark Smith, and just being with him and just being able to pray with him, and just the relationship that was built. These guys were awesome, but I will say this, you would have been proud of them, church. They worked hard, and we've seen pictures since we've left. They've almost got the pavilion that we started done. We've put some cinder blocks, and so it's a building with big windows type deal, but it has, so it's not quite the vision of just a pavilion, but they're almost done with it. They are worshiping in that area. They had last Sunday, I think I saw a picture of about 25 people. And so it's a great connection. As a church, we still want to be in prayer for Pastor Ugo and the vision of loving and caring for people there. But just being able to get to share with you guys some of our stories, and I'm grateful for that. If anybody has any questions about El Salvador, come talk to one of us. We'd love to tell you more about it. It's a little different now. We've got a little relationship with Pastor Ugo, and it goes a long ways. And what a man of God, what an example he was, how he even led our group, even though we didn't even speak the same language, how he even led us there too. And so, church family, we look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you for this time.
Thank you for joining us for the Triangle Podcast. If you want to hear Pastor Greg's Triangle sermon, the link is in the show notes. If you have comments about this episode or have a suggestion for future guests or topics, please email us at trianglepodcast@fsfbc.org. Also, check out our church website at fsfbc.org for the ministries and opportunities to get involved with Fort Smith First Baptist and stretch your triangle.